This morning's message is simply titled, Who is Jesus? Seriously, I mean, look all that goes on every year at this time across the United States. I mean, even though it's under attack and various things, actually it's known throughout the world. And so we want you to know today, who is Christ? Who is he? Listen to me, once you've heard the gospel, you can never be the same. Whether you refuse it or accept it, you'll never be the same again once you are faced or confronted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the Word of God, when the rich young ruler was confronted with the gospel and he turned away. Remember, he turned away and the Bible says and he was grieved. He was very grieved, very displeased. You cannot just look at Christ, be confronted by, and just, oh well. So whether you receive him this morning or whether you turn away or whether you accept him, you're guaranteed never to be the same. So let's look at the Word of God. Luke 11:29 says this, and when the people were gathered together or when the people were gathered thick together, many of them, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah, the prophet, Jesus told us. Just as Jonah became a sign, he became a sign to the Ninevites, those who lived in Nineveh. I can't say the word. Ninevites, the people that lived there. Jonah did become a sign to him. He was a type of Christ. He was swallowed up and consumed by death, which is the well. Spent 3 days in the belly of the well, which is a type of hell, and then rose again as the well spewed him out. So God was saying, this is the sign. So as death could not hold him, we know that Christ also was not held by death. So it says in verse 31 that the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the Bible says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. She traveled clear across the world to hear this wisdom that she was hearing, that you and I have freely. The men of Nineveh shall rise up judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here, the Bible says. Here, this morning, whether you think so or not. Ancient Israel wanted Jesus to do something sensational, like America. We run from sensational sign to sign to prove he really was the Son of God. Now listen, according to this passage, Jesus is saying to you, you're not going to have any other sign, but if you really want one, he's saying, I am the sign. That's what Christ is saying. Just as Jonah was the sign to them, I am the sign to my generation and this one. So this is the sign that the Lord is saying that he's given you. Jesus is telling you and I am the sign. So God is not wanting you in this present generation to run after signs. He just wants you simply to run after him and follow him. But you have to figure out who Christ is. The queen of the south said, God says she's going to rise up in judgment day. You understand, when you stand before judgment and everything that Christ had provided for you and gave for you and you wanted nothing to do with it, all those who loved it are going to rise up and condemn you also at that time because of the wisdom that you squandered when you heard the gospel, word of God, everything that has come your way, they're going to rise up. And all those who have repented at the preaching of Jonah also are going to rise up at your day of judgment if you do not receive Christ. They're going to testify to it and say, this was awesome. I couldn't believe it. When Jonah preached, I felt the gospel pierce my heart, and I just had to accept Christ. And you're going to be standing before God with all them testifying how awesome it was, along with the queen of the south. He tells us that the blind and deaf, they can't see or hear the truth. Jesus has told us, I am the way, the light of the world. I am the sign, is what he's saying to you and I today. Another Christmas, another season. Now, when you are faced with Jesus, like I'm trying to do that this morning, how are you going to react? When you're confronted with Christ, what will your reaction be? You remember the reaction of the scribes and Pharisees? Oh my gosh, they gnashed their teeth. It was one of hostility and resentment. They hated the very fact. That was their reaction. And those that heard the preaching of Jonah, what was their reaction? It was one of humility and repentance. So the question today is, what think ye of Jesus? I mean, what think ye of Christ? What do you think what this says about Christ? Is it real? Is it true? Is he the Christ? Is he God? Is what the Word of God? You have to decide that. You truly do. Just like the rich young ruler, you have to make your decision. Now look, when I was young, which was a while back, there was a rock opera causing a lot of stir, a lot of controversy, and it was called Jesus Christ Superstar. That was in 1971. Now, who was around then? Do you remember that? The controversy and all that. Now, some of you might have caught on to it later after you heard it long after you were born. But that whole thing was going across the country. All through our country, people were talking about Christ. Not long after Jesus Christ Superstar, there became a Broadway play. I think it was called Godspell. Who remembers that one? All over, everywhere Christ keeps popping up throughout the ages. Who art thou? Who are you, Christ? Are you Jesus Christ, the superstar? Are you who they say you are? You have to decide. I think it was Billy Graham used to always say, this is your hour of decision. Right now, today, this morning. Movies are constantly being made. The Passion of Christ, remember that one not that long ago? This was amazing, astounding. I looked it up. It had a $30 million budget. We're going, oh my gosh, $30 million. Well, once it said and done, it made $611 million on a $30 million budget. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that people are wondering, who is this Christ? Who is this Jesus that is everywhere? All through the time, especially even when we live in this crazy day and age, you cannot escape him. You cannot escape Christ. He keeps popping up all over the place. Even our own nation is fighting against Christmas. Why? Why? It all has to do with Christ. Look, many of our plays and operas, poems are about him. All over the place. Historians write about him. Philosophers talk about him all the time. You can't get away from him. Our architects are constructed with images of him. There's none of me anywhere. There's no one talking about me or wanting to do buildings with me or anything. Our artists keep drawing about him. Why? Why is it? To this day, they keep drawing about him. Songwriters got in and on. When I was a young person, one of the number one songs back then, again back in the 70s, was Put Your Hand in the Hand of the One That Calms the Seas. Kind of the same idea. Stills the waters. But that's about Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about Michael Jordan. Not about LeBron. Mickey Mantle. Willie Mays. It's the one who calms the seas. That's who they write songs about and do poems and operas about. Plays, Broadways, Jesus Christ, Superstar. So these movies and plays and operas are confronting people with this one question. Who is Jesus Christ? In that superstar opera, it concludes with the voice of Judas coming back from the dead and still questioning who Jesus is, saying, don't get me wrong, I only want to know. And then that chorus, everybody knows, Jesus Christ, superstar. I wanted to find that chorus and play it, but it was full of such stupid people. Sorry, I just couldn't do it. Couldn't bring it in church. Couldn't. So Judas says, don't get me wrong, I only want to know. Do you want to know? Seriously? Jesus Christ, superstar, do you think you're what they say you are? I never heard of an opera of Buddha. or Muhammad or Gandhi. I never seen any operas on those. Now listen to this. He only lived 33 years. He didn't have any formal education. He didn't travel probably outside of 100 miles from where he lived. Yet people all over the world, even today, still talk about him. Jesus Christ, who are you? Some say he was a madman. Was he? Just freak out and do what he did way back then? There's a lot of weird people in the world. Is he one of them? Some say he was a revolutionary. Was he? If you look at the Word of God, all through the Word of God, he never led a revolt against the Roman government. He never did. Not that I know of. I don't see it in here. And when he didn't, people lost interest in him and moved on. They wanted a Rambo, is what they wanted. That's what they were looking for. Some thought he was going to, but he didn't. Some say, he was just a religious man. He's part of the establishment, part of the swamp, like we hear all the time today. Nothing different, just like all the rest. Or is he really God? I mean, what is he? Who is he? Jesus Christ, who are you? Well, we know some things about him, right? We know he was a man. We read that in the Word of God, complete human, all man. We know that he got hungry. We read that in the Word of God. We know that he had friends. He did. He had some buddies. We know that he got tired. The Bible tells us that. We know that he wept and cried over somebody's funeral and died. We know all these things about him. He had all the characteristics of a man, but then the Bible makes this declaration that blows my mind. He's never sinned. Oh, which man has never sinned? Now, how fast would you run out of here if I stood up and said, I have never sinned? You can start first by asking my wife. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible said, Christ, who are you? You declare you're a man, and now you're standing up declaring you have no sin. I've never sinned. What are you going to do with that? Bible also goes on and claims he was more than that. He claimed to be the unique, only begotten, incarnate Son of God. Incarnate means in the flesh. I mean, he did stand up one day facing people like this and said, I am the Son of God. Oh, yes, he did. In fact, he claimed pre-existence, before time. He was, the Bible says. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's what he says. That's what he declares about himself. And by the way, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham, born thousands of years ago, Christ is saying, I was before that. I pre-existed before time. I'm your sign. He stood. No wonder they got angry. Seriously, how would you do? How would you do? Really? What would you do? I don't know. If I was in that crowd, I'd probably be ones picking up rocks first. I just probably would. No wonder they threw stones at him and tried to kill him. He stood and said, I am God. Jesus, who are you? Matthew tells us when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said, well, there are John the Baptist and Elias and Jeremiah, and we're one of the prophets. This is Christ's response to you today. He said, you know what? I'm not interested in other men. What do you say? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Other men said that. No. What do you say? What do you say about me? Claim to be the Son of the Living God. Christmas time, we celebrate the eternal God becoming flesh. Mary, did you know? Right? All those songs, all our stories that we see, the scene of Christ being born, becoming flesh incarnate. It's the Word of God, the eternal God, became flesh, lived among us. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what it says about Him, about this Christ that's everywhere. In our operas, in our songs, poems, Broadway plays, buildings, structures. Of all places, I'm told over in Russia, and one of their buildings over there are filled with images of Christ. All over the place in Moscow of Christ. Who is this guy? Was he Christ? Was he? Is he? You have to make a decision this morning. You do. You're being confronted with it. This is what the Bible says. Even the men that hunted him down were told, go find him. He's in the garden. Get him. They came back without him. But this is what they told them. Even the man that hunted him to finally try to arrest him said, I don't know, never a man spake like this man. Who are you, Jesus? You ever run into somebody and say, nobody ever spake like that man. We all pretty much sound the same. Toot our own horn, pat our own backs. Who is this guy? Could he be God? Could he be who he says he is? What the Word of God teaches he is? And if he is, what are you going to do about it? He taught us ethics like we never even knew before. Ethics, morals, concepts of right and wrong. We're like, what? You know, you might do your very best and say, I might forgive, but I'll never forget. And then on comes the Lord. On comes this guy who claims to be God and says, no. You need to forgive that person 70 times 7. We're like, what? Who is this? Who is that guy? Who does that? He taught us not to hate. He taught us instead of to hate is to love. And he also taught us what? It isn't the outward actions, but it's the inward actions that speak the loudest. Who is this man? Talks like this. All these different ethics and morals and claims to be God and without sin. So he lifted man's morals and ethics to the highest plane, and what did he do? He demanded that you and I do the same. He did. And he even told us that he would do it through us. Here's a little sidebar. You want a secret of a good marriage? A good marriage must have two good forgivers. That's it. You don't have to be handsome, strong, loaded with money. She don't have to be a beaut, 10 on the Richter scale. You just got to be two good forgivers. And divorce would be zero. Two good forgivers. That's all you got to be. How do you explain Jesus? Madman? Establishment? Part of the swamp? He's a lunatic? Or could he be who he says he is? God. And if he is, what are you going to do about that? Then he brought three charges against Christ in his entire time, his entire life. You know what they were? One was he healed on the Sabbath. So in our time, that would be like receiving a healing today. And they're writing that down as breaking the law. Second thing, he loved sinners. That was his second. And the third thing was, he claimed to be the Son of God. And he does this morning. He claims to be the Son of God. And that's what this teaches. Well, what else do we know about him? Well, Matthew tells us, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He has all authority. And he backs that up. He had power over nature. Word of God declares it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been around the ocean. Most of you probably have. And I don't know if you've ever been around there when there's some big old storm kicking out about a umpteen hundred miles away, and all of a sudden the ocean looks different, acts different, seems mean and nasty. Waves are about 3 feet apart, just keep start coming in, churning up, changes color. And that's not even the worst of it. I mean, they tell me you guys out there at the sea, maybe Mac's gone through it, I don't know, big 40-foot, 50-foot waves toss them things around like nothing. Most of you have watched them guys that fish for all that weird food you like to eat. They go out there. What's that show called? Deadliest Catch. That boat goes up and crashes down. Boom. And Christ goes, be still. And it's this declares all authority. Now, I'll go out with Mac on the aircraft carrier, and it starts to do this, and it goes, and I'm going to go out there and say, be still! Seriously. I wish I would have had the power in something like that. He declares, I am God. He has all authority, all power over nature. All of it. It's what it declares, what the Bible says. He has power over nature. Listen to this, very simple. Because they're his laws. He made the laws. He said, ocean, you're going to do your thing. You're going to come here. You're not going to go past this border. Every once in a while, you'll get angry and you'll fly up over, but you'll come back right where I told you to. And it does, all these years. Oh, the beaches are eroding. This is falling apart. It's just what God says it is. God said there was a path in the ocean. They had no idea what he was talking about. Man finally, after umpteen thousand years, figures it out. There's that current that runs up and down. They're his laws. There's God's laws. That's why he's got all power and all authority over him. He has power over disease and sickness. That's why we pray, anoint people. He has power over it. I don't understand how it all works, but he has power over it all. He makes the dumb to talk. And a lot of times you think that means people who actually can't speak. I'm trying to think of my life. I can't believe what he's done with me. He makes the dumb to talk. I would refuse to speak in front of crowds. Fifth and sixth grade, we had to memorize something, Gettysburg Address. I refused. Remember, I've told you. I couldn't. I was panic-stricken. It wasn't that I was a horrible I was panic-stricken. He makes the dumb to talk. I wouldn't. And so they threatened me. You know what the biggest threat wasn't? Paddling. It was no recess. I told them, I don't care. It's the truth. So God does more than just those who can't actually verbally speak. He makes the diseased and the sick get well, dumb to talk, the blind to see. And I couldn't see. I remember, I told you before, sitting in my downstairs room watching Billy Graham. Well, actually, I went down to watch something else, and he took over the channel, and I was mad, upset, and he's preaching his glorious gospel, but I was blind and dumb, couldn't see it, and couldn't hear it. I didn't get glorious saved then. No. Turned it off, stupid Graham. How did he do it? When did he do it with me? I have an idea about the day, but how'd that work? Where's the big surgery? Where's the mass scars? How did he? Who is this Christ? Who are you? He has all authority over demons. You believe in demons? You should. He has all authority over them. He casts them out. Get out. He doesn't sweat over it. Just get out. Send us in the pigs. Go ahead. Get in the pigs. Isn't that, that's just amazing. Was he crazy? He even died differently than anybody else. I've done a lot of funerals. And he's been by a lot of deathbeds where they, actually died. I've seen life just leave the person's body. Pink flesh just turning to gray, lifeless, stillless, right in front of me. But I've never stood by someone on a cross, being hung between earth and heaven. Even died differently than everybody. Earth quaked. The rocks split. Temple shattered, ripped. Who is this guy? Even the soldiers, during his death, probably the ones that beat him, slugged him around, planted the stuff, even them, what did they say? What does the Bible say that they said about this guy? Even the centurions which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, they said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Is he? And then on the cross, he says, it is finished, bows his head, and dies. What's finished? What did he mean? It is finished. Here's what he meant. He meant your and my salvation plan. It's finished. It's done. If you want it, I paid for it. If I had no historical facts or scientific facts, if there was none, there is, there's tons. You can look it up yourself. But if I had none to present to you, and I don't right now on paper, I would still believe in them. And you know why? Because of what he's done with me. What he's done. Now, I'm not the greatest and I'm not the best, but he has transformed me from what I was. And I can't deny that. I can't. He has power to transform lives. He's transformed mine. I mean, we're at the tail end of life now, but I look back and I'm just, it's unbelievable what he's done. When I married Ruth, that's all I did. I didn't have a job. I had no schooling. I told you, I don't know why she married me. None. No job. I had my ball glove, my wife, and my 64 Chevy. That was it. If somebody like that came to me to marry my daughter, I'd tell them, get out. Get lost. I had no reason to be able to do anything, become anything, be over anything, and yet he did it. He transformed my life little by little by little by little. And I know when I probably stand before him, he might have had umpteen billion miles of more for me to do, but I just couldn't cut it or whatever. But I'm telling you, he's transformed my life. Am I crazy? Am I believing a fable? Is it just something for me? That's too bad you didn't find it first. Who art thou, Lord? Are you really who they say you are? What's your answer? Think of how much you love him. How much you live for him. How much he means to you. How much you do for him. Ephesians says this, for by grace have you been saved through faith. 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 You cannot sit there and tell me you have no faith. And don't do the American thing. Faith is not being a Baptist, a Catholic, a Protestant. That's no. No, no, no. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things you can't see. I believe in it. That's faith. And you have that. And you've used it today. I mean, when you got up, you flipped the switch, you had faith that that thing would work, that whoever put those wires in there knew that something called current was going to run through there, hit something else, hit this thing inside this glass bulb or whatever it is, and cause a light to come on that you could see to shave your face. You never even think of it. You jump in your car and you do 70 miles an hour, you have faith in that one bigger pedal that it's going to work. That some unsaved, probably godless man built somewhere, mad, spitting tobacco, cussing like crazy, you're going to have faith that he did his job right and apply the brake, and you'll just in time. Or all those steel workers that build all those bridges that you just go over. Anybody go up in an elevator this week? How about all you nurses? Yeah, all you hospital people. You ever get in it and think, I have to have faith to do this. You just get in, press the button 5, and you believe it's going to take you to 5. When you're up there in 5, you understand you're just in a cube on ropes. And if you even get in it, sometimes it goes, right? You're not going, oh, I want to believe. You just press floor and down you go. You get off and expect to get off. You drive in 50 miles an hour on a 2-lane road. There's a yellow line. You have faith that that person coming towards you is going to stay on his side. So don't tell me you don't have faith. You do it every day. And God simply says, through that faith, you can be saved. And it's a gift. 'Tis the gift season. Everybody's probably got their trees up and gifts all over the place. Through faith, you have all kind of faith. Do you have faith to believe that Christ is who he says he is? Can you truly put your life in the hands of the one who calms the seas? Or is that just a song sung by some hippie back on pot back then? Or is it true? Is he God? You understand, it was a big hippie movement back then in the 70s. Hair down to here. I had hair down to here. I was holding Jennifer. She's this big. I had hair down to here. In the 70s, in the hippie movement. You have faith to believe that? So listen, in all seriousness, remember the words in the beginning. Billy Graham's words, the hours of decision. You have to decide. Is this true? Or is this full of a bunch of fallacies about some dude? Or could he be God? Jesus Christ, who are you? So today's your decision. Now, maybe you do know him and are attempting to love him, but as we kind of lay it out there, you think, it's been kind of weak, my love for him. But I'm telling you, after this morning, you'll never be the same, because the gospel just doesn't evaporate into space. The word's constantly there, even if you refuse Christ. In fact, especially if you refuse him. The rich young ruler went away grieved. He had all the money in the world. It grieved him. He went away broken, distressed over this. Who is this Christ? So it's Christmas time. We have gifts to give. We do. It's fun giving gifts. Lots of them. What gift can you give Christ this morning? Did you even think of bringing a gift this morning? Do you have one wrapped and ready to go? To Jesus from Chad Martin. But you do, right? You put all those little to's and from's. You know what you can do, right? You can bring your heart. Bring your heart as a gift. That's all he wants. Is he wants your heart. Give that to Christ. Listen to me. Every one of you are following someone. Every one of you are following something. Someone or something, whatever it is. Listen to me now. Jesus' call wasn't to say the sinner's prayer. Oh, if we can just come down here and say the sinner's prayer. Nah, for Pete's sake, no. His call is simply the same. It's this. Follow me. That's what it is. It's not to come down here, bow down, say some sinner's prayer, and really not give thought to God for the next 33 years. No, it's to follow him. It's to make a decision. Is he who he says he is? Is he? It's an invitation to be with Jesus. Follow him. Be with him. To learn from Jesus. To become like Jesus. That's what being a Christian is. Listen, that's what this teaches. Jesus, who are you? Christ. Why is the world possessed with you? So you must make that decision. Who is Jesus? So here we are, another Christmas time. Is your gift wrapped? Are you ready? Let's stand, please. Forget about the opera, the rock star. The key is he who the Bible says he is? Not God's spell, not Jesus Christ, rock star, a group of dudes from London. Is he who this says he is this morning? If your gift's been kind of kicked around or mangled, maybe you could rewrap it this morning before everybody starts ripping all the presents open, and you could bring yours fresh and new with a nice bow of commitment to the Lord. If you've never wrapped your heart, you have to decide, who is he? The Lord is saying to you this morning, who do you say that I am? I don't care what they say. I want to know what you say. Put your name there. Jim Foster. I want to know what you say. That's what the Lord is saying. He's a personal Savior. Do you believe I am what I say I am? Alan Johnson. Do you believe that? That's where we are this morning. Are you going to turn away? Grieved? So glad to be out of there. I didn't want to hear that stuff. Or are you going to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to wrap my heart again. Sorry, Lord, that I just haven't been into it much lately. I'm sorry. If you could just forgive me of sin, Lord. In fact, if you could give me a brand new heart, Lord, I'd like to come and present it to you. Merry Christmas, Lord. All I have is my heart. That's all I have, Lord. If that's you, just make your way down. I'm not even saying anything about coming here, joining the church. Just say, Lord, here's my heart. Mike Ross is going to play us a song. Come down. Whether you believed you're saved or not, come down and say to the Lord, give me a new heart, Lord. My package is all mangled and torn and messed. Lord, give me a brand new one, please, so I can love you like I should, esteem you like who you are. And you come down and tell the Lord by faith, I believe you're the Son of God. This morning, I believe it, Lord, with all my heart. Ready? Who's coming? Anybody? Bring your heart. That's all he wants. He doesn't want your money, your house, your marriage, your children. He wants your heart. Bring your heart. Bring it. Only you can. I cannot bring your heart. You have to.